I had an incredible download yesterday. We've preached the blessings of the water before, and I was just going to start reteaching some of that because there's a lot of wonderful, wonderful revelation in there. But the Lord just exploded something yesterday, broke open a very long-standing question I had about why he operated in healing the way he did, why he, you know, spit in the mud and, you know, everything he did was for a very real purpose. And I really didn't realize that I was actually going to study and break down, do an exegesis breakdown on spit. But it just so happened that I did, and I'm glad I did. Amen. Anyway, we'll get into that in a minute. We're going to look at the book of John. I'm just going to take you through the book of John. The book of John is really the first nine chapters of what I can see deals a lot about the mysteries concerning the living water. As we know, the Lord is the fountain. We looked at this the other night. He says, they forsook me, the fountain of living waters. Jesus was that fountain. He is that fountain. And when he was in his ministry in the earth, God opened that fountain to humanity. And now John chapter 2, we looked at this last week, when his very first miracle he did was fill the water pots with water. When he turned that water into wine, the water pots represented humanity, and he took six of them, the number of man. He said, now fill them to the brim. Each miracle, by the way, in the book of John were miracles of demonstration. They were specifically given, especially when it dealt with water, and he did several miracles concerning water. This was his first. These miracles were for specific purposes of demonstration to teach certain things concerning the operations of living waters. Because when John chapter 7 come around, it says, out of your what? Belly? Our innermost being, out of your temple. Glory to God. Wait till we get into John 9 today. Hallelujah. So John 2 was fill the water pots with water. First miracle he did. And the specific teaching, the fundamental principle he was looking at is for anything to happen, in order there to be transforming qualities of these living waters, the water pots have to be full. So he said, fill them to the brim. When you see the entire book of Acts, what did it say? They were all filled with the Holy Ghost. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Everybody that was doing something were filled, filled, filled. You're not going to see this kind of operation from vessels half full. We have to be full of the Holy Ghost. And then it's drawn out. And when the water's drawn out, it's then the miracles begin. There he turned it to wine. But he turns it to miracles. He turns it to healings. He turns it into blessings. The entire inheritance of the right hand of God is in the water. You can say like this, the water is the catalyst by which the inheritance flows. Amen. Hallelujah. So his first miracle, in fact, chapter 1, he talked about him baptized in the water. And the second miracle is you being baptized in the water. Amen. Glory to God. Now go to chapter 4 for a minute, John 4. He begins to speak about water again. And specifically, I just want to tell one verse because I am headed to John chapter 9 fast. John chapter 4, I'm going to exhort it. John chapter 4, he said, the waters I will give you will be a wellspring of water that will well up, bubble up, spring up continually with everlasting life. Again, he speaks about this fountain because here's this fountain. He goes, not only are you the water pot, I'm going to put this fountain inside of you. You're not, the water's not coming from the outside in. It's coming from the inside in. I'm going to put a fountain. I am the fountain. I'm going to set it right in the middle of you. Hallelujah. Somebody say amen. And then he gets to John chapter 5. And this is a powerful one. I could teach a whole sermon on this one. John chapter 5 was the pool of Bethesda. You know what Bethesda means? House of mercy. It was a pool. Now, each miracle the Lord's doing, he was demonstrating. So he walks up in the midst of the pool of Bethesda. It means house of mercy or house of flowing water. The reason I'm kind of walking you up through the book of John, I want to show you the progression of how these miracles and this operations of living water progress into chapter 9. So they also said there was five porches where all the sick, the maimed, and the lame, and the multitudes of sick were laying in the five porches. See, the Holy Ghost is doing his job, because the five porches is representing the fivefold ministry, and the pool of Bethesda represents the church. And he brings the lame and the maimed, the holy. In fact, he said, when you serve a table, when you spread a table, call the poor, the maimed, the lame, and the blind. That's what the church is supposed to be operating in. Fullness. And they were laying up into the five porches. Jesus, I bet he, when he came up with that man with 38 years, he just said, I'll just take the worst case scenario. The one that's been here the longest. Now what had happened with the pool of Bethesda, ever so often, an angel would come and he would stir the waters. And when he would stir the waters, the first one in would be healed. God left a testimony in the earth that healing is coming by way of the waters. That was a testimony. It was also saying this, and you are to write this down, dormant waters will produce nothing. The pool of Bethesda was there, the house of Bethesda, the church was there, but the waters were still. Nothing happens till the waters are stirred. That's why you can live with a fountain in your life, all your life, a fountain of living water, and nothing ever happened until that fountain gets activated, until that fountain gets stirred, until the water begins to move, nothing's going to happen. The water requires movement. It requires you to be full. It requires the stirring of the Holy Spirit for those waters to get activated into the earth. And that's what the Lord was saying. The first one in gets healed. Hallelujah. When these waters get activated, all those porches are going to be healed. Hallelujah. Now he moves up into John chapter 7. In John chapter 7, not only said that these waters are going to be in you, not only are you going to be full, out of your belly, out of your innermost being is going to flow what? Rivers. 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 Say rivers. Fullness. It's going to flow out of you. In fact, he said, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Then he tells you where to drink, for out of your belly will flow rivers. He didn't say you're just going to have a cup. You're going to have rivers. There's a fountain in us. And if it's the last thing we do, we're going to get this fountain open, because this fountain is God's answer for humanity. This fountain of living waters is God's answer, and it's up inside us. It's all up inside us. But there's a lot of things the enemy does. We'll be talking about this in the weeks to come, how he plugs your well up, how he plugs your fountain up. You can have a fountain walk around all your life and nothing ever happen, because that fountain is plugged up. It can be plugged up by wrong believing, false doctrine, trespasses, sin, you name it. It can be plugged up with Ishmael, Amalek, and Eleazar's. There's a lot of things that'll plug your fountain. We have to become wise concerning this living water. Amen. Because this living water is the answer. And you have to believe that your future is in that water. That water is going to produce blessings. It's going to produce opportunities. It's going to produce favor. It's going to produce blessing and inheritance upon your life. Healings, miracles, glory to God. Everything we've ever believed for is up in that water. Amen. Now, with all that said, I want you to go to chapter 9. All right, you ready? So let's begin here. And this miracle here, it's amazing how we can read a Bible. I'm going to tell you, everything that's in there is there for a purpose. You might not be able to see that purpose, but it's there. Everything Jesus did, he did specifically. When he spit in the mud, he specifically. I've had preachers try to do that before. I've heard of preachers try to do that before. I'm just glad they didn't do that to me. Hallelujah. There's a reason why he did that. There's a very specific reason why he spit in the mud. Spittle, saliva, whatever you want to name it. Look at John chapter 9, verse 1. It says, as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. Say, blind from birth. Now, this is very important to understand. I want you to drop down to verse 32, because I want you to understand something. The blind man is giving his testimony after he was healed, and he says something remarkable. In fact, I'll look at verse 30 first. He said that the man answered and said unto them, he's given his answer. They kept asking him, how did you get healed? How did you get healed? Because this wasn't just a normal healing. This was a very remarkable healing. In fact, there was nothing like this from the beginning of creation. And even the blind man testifies to this. So the man answered and says, "Why, herein is a marvelous thing that you know not from whence he is, yet he opened mine eyes. Now we know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshiper of God and doeth his will, him he heareth. And since the world began," look at this, verse 32, "since the world began, since the world began, was it not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind?" If a man or a woman was born blind, for the 4,000 years that preceded the cross, not one person ever had their eyes open. And the Lord walked right in the middle of the temple and did that. He opened that man's eyes, and I mean, it shook. You should read what it shook them up big time. It shook the Pharisees up. It shook everybody up. Because this was not an ordinary miracle. And that's why God took some extraordinary measures to heal this man. The Lord did something that he did not normally do because he was demonstrating something. Because every miracle took place in the book of John, it was a purpose of demonstration. Fill the water pot with water. The miracle at the pool of Bethesda, the waters have to be stirred. Now, this particular miracle, I don't think we were to come out of reading and meditating this chapter that we're supposed to go spit in the mud and start anointing people's eyes. I don't think we'd have a church very long, unless, of course, their eyes open. Of course, if you pray the prayer of faith and put some spit in the mud and pray the prayer of faith and they walk out of here still blind, they ain't coming back. I wouldn't come back. Would you come back? That's like people trying to replicate Smith Wigglesworth. He used to get in the line and kick people. People who have cancer, he just go off and hit them, knock them out. Real big old guy. Just smooth. The crowds would just erupt with anger because he'd just smack them, but they'd get up whole. As long as they got up whole, everything's fine. They run around the building. I'm healed, I'm healed, I'm healed. And you got these modern day preachers that don't have that kind of anointing. They think if they're just going to do something like that, something's not going to happen. And they're going to go out with a big old bruise. Maybe a broken rib. You can't operate like these people if you're not where they are. Operate where you are. Amen. I doubt God's going to start with you kicking somebody in the chest.
If he starts you there and nothing happens, don't tell him I'm your pastor. John chapter 9. So let's look at this miracle. Let's see what all this was about, because this was profound. Verse 1 again. It says, "Jesus passed by and he saw a man which was blind from birth." And mind you, again, nobody had ever been healed of blindness from birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, "Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" And he answered, "Neither this man sinned or his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day, for the night cometh when no man can work. And as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." Now he's going to get into the way he healed him. He's going to get into the mystery of this. "And when he had thus spoken," verse 6, "he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay." So he spits on the ground. He makes clay. Why couldn't he just use water? Why couldn't he just pour a cup of water? He was just looking for clay. He wasn't just looking for clay. He makes the clay, he anoints him. He says, "Now you go wash in the pool of Siloam, and you will be healed." Now, before we can understand what he's doing, believe it or not, you're going to have to go all the way back to the book of Genesis. Before you go back to the book of Genesis, go to the first chapter of John. This gospel, go back to the book of John and see what's going on here. John 1. Now remember, Jesus not only was the Son of God, but he was also the Word of God. And he was also the original creator of every living thing. He made the worlds and the people therein. Every living thing was made by him. When Jesus was standing in front of that blind man, he also was standing in front of him as the creator, the original creator of all things. Look at John 1, verse 1. It said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God the Father. Verse 3 is the one I'm after. And all things, say all things, were made by Him, and without Him was not anything that was made. No, in the Greek actually says, no, not anything. He made the worlds. He created the earth. And to understand what he was doing with that clay and that spittle, you have to go back to the book of Genesis to find out what exactly he was doing, because he was doing something. He was actually restoring something into the earth by that act of faith in healing that man. Oh, hallelujah. Because God didn't create man to look like that. He did not create man that could not see. So he took the worst case scenario, one that was born blind, and for 4,000 years, not one man was ever healed of that. And he goes, stand in front of him. He says, I am going to restore something that I created from the very beginning. Oh, hallelujah. Go to Genesis chapter 2. See, the whole world came out of waters. The Holy Spirit was brooding upon the face of the waters. Everything was water in the beginning. Everything. And then God began the miraculous, began calling things that be not as though they were. And he said, let there be light. Let the water separate. And what he did, he separated the waters from the waters. You have any idea that you're covered by water and you don't know it? All of the atmospheric heavens, the clouds, all of that is water. All of that's water. You're covered by water. You don't even know it. You came out of water. Every living thing, every created thing, everything God does brand new is water. I'm just going to give you a very simple, easy way to come out of your wilderness. There is no such thing as a wilderness or a desert when water is available. Water will immediately turn the wilderness and the desert to an oasis. If you want to graduate from your wilderness, if you want to graduate from your desert, all you got to do is find water. When you find water, Isaac found water in the middle of the famine. He reaped a hundredfold blessing because of it. He sowed in famine, but you can sow seed and dry land all day long and nothing happened. He found water. And when you find water that nobody else has, you're going to be mighty blessed. God separates the heavens and the earth, and he calls creation up out of the waters. Calls the earth and every living thing up out of the waters. Very powerful. When you understand, you know, you're born of water. You were born in that watery womb. In the beginning, that most of that womb, like 85, 90% of it is water. God has been using water from the beginning. Natural water, living waters. He gives men power with waters. Moses had power with waters because his name was out of the water. Moses came out of the water. He was given power. Elijah, and Elijah, you should read about the miracles when Elisha asked for a double portion of Elijah's mantle, the kind of miracles he did with water. Elijah had extreme power with waters. Glory to God. So we're going to go Genesis chapter 2 now, because I want to look at the creation. Remember, when we talk about creation here, we're talking about the Lord, the very same Lord that's standing in front of that blind man. We're talking about him in the book of Genesis because he is the creator. So every living thing is created by him. You were created. Man was created in the beginning by the Lord. So first of all, let's look what he did in the beginning, and then we'll understand what he did with that miracle. Amen. Genesis chapter 2. Let's pick it up at verse 4. Are you with me? These are the generations of the heaven and the earth when they were created in the day the Lord God made the earth and the heavens. Now the Lord's name back then was the Word. His name was the Word. In the beginning was the Word. He got the name Jesus when he took upon the Word became flesh. That embodiment of the word, that's Jesus, but it's still the same creator. Amen. And every plant of the field, verse 5, before it was in the earth, every herb of the field before it grew, for the Lord God had not caused it to rain upon the earth, for there was no man to till the ground. So in the beginning, until the days of Noah, when God watered the earth, it did not rain upon the earth until the days of Noah. That was the first time it ever rained. You know that? And that when God told Noah to build a boat, an ark, and God said the rain's going to come out of heaven. Can you imagine God telling you something that's never happened for all creation? Water always came out, but fountains were opened from within. That's how it began in the beginning. The river of God came out of Eden, and it filled the whole earth, and fountains would open. He said he opened the fountains of the deep, and that's how he watered the earth. In the days of Noah, God said, build an ark. Water's going to fall out of heaven. How'd you like that call? Because you weren't out there for 1 or 2 years. Moses was building that ark for 100 years. For 100 years, he had to put up with persecution. For 100 years, he had to put up with ridicule. Everybody come along and look at this monstrosity that Noah's building. Yeah, all the animals are going to come in here and water's going to fall out of the earth. And Noah had to continue to stay with what God said. He had to build that thing in faith for 100 years without even seeing a droplet of water come out. Because water didn't fall out of the sky. Water came out from the earth. But boy, when the water came, all the atheists come out of the foxholes. You know they were running to the ark. Well, them atheists, let me in! Sorry! You had your chance! You know, after that, when those 8 stepped out, they were the heirs of the entire earth. Because of Noah's faith, he became the heir of the entire known world. Imagine that. The whole world was his. The entire world was his. No fighting with anybody. It was all yours. Man, what an inheritor. Took him 100 years in faith, but he inherited the earth. Amen. And by the way, God delivered the earth by water. He cleansed the earth by water. Delivered the children of Israel by water. Delivered them into the promised land by water. Say water. All right. So there was no man to till the earth for water come up out of the ground. Now, verse 7, very important here. Watch this. Last part of verse 5. And the Lord God had not caused it to rain upon the earth, for there's no man to till the ground. In verse 6, there went up a mist from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground. Now, he'd already created, but man had not been created yet. The herb and all things were there, animals. He opened a mist and he watered the face of the ground. So you see, the water, it covered the ground again, and then the Creator, say the Creator, the Lord reached down through the water into the clay, and he forms man. Do you see that? Man was formed out of water, but it was out of clay, out of dust, and out of water, because he covered the earth. You need to see this, because he was the creator. This was his original design. Now, this wasn't just natural water that was flowing in the beginning. You understand that? Before Adam's fall, these waters were heavenly waters. They were living waters. They came out of the Garden of Eden. The waters came out from the earth. They were all clean, pure, living, and holy waters. Amen. The whole earth was holy. The Garden of Eden was a pure and holy garden. The tree of life was there. There was life in the world. There was life in these waters. It wasn't just in the natural water. These were spiritual waters, natural waters, heavenly waters, pure waters. So when he covered the earth, by original design, a mist comes out of the earth, and then the Creator reaches down through that water, the clay, because he covered the earth and he made man and fashioned man out of that clay, that watery clay. That was how God originally did it. When God originally makes something, you think that Adam was born blind? When the Creator originally created, there was no fault in creation. There was no infirmity in creation. There was no deformity. There was no sickness or disease. All that came in by the curse. In fact, blindness came in by the curse. Deafness came in by the curse. Everything came in by the curse. But it wasn't originally so when Jesus The original creator created man out of that watery clay. That was the way he did it, and it was living waters. Amen? So we created out of living waters. And he's never changed his design. We still come out of the waters. Now, back, fast forward, go back up to chapter 9 now. Go back to John chapter 9. And let's see what's happening here. It never occurred to me, really, to do a Greek breakdown on the word spittle. Have you ever studied spit? Can I get a show of hands of how many people actually studied spittle? I never knew why he did it, to be honest with you. I just fast forward through that kind of miracle. So, Lord, you did it. Whatever. We don't question God. If God wanted to do it that way, it's the way he did it. There was a reason he did it, especially when he goes that kind of extreme. There was a purpose. The Holy Spirit spoke to me yesterday. He said, your answer. Because he brought me right there. I'm like, what is going on? He said, the revelation. He said it just like this. He goes, the revelation is in the spit. I said, Lord, surely you're not going to have me go preach on spittle. He says, yes, I am. Being the student I am, I go look up spittle, and Greek spittle is spit. It's spittle. Nothing there. I'm like, that's just great. Spit is spit. Until I went to Wikipedia, the Holy Spirit said, he said it to me, he said, check the content of water in spit. Check the percentage of water that's actually in your spittle. I'm not a scientist, but I'm sure the ones at Wikipedia got it right. Are you aware? Are you ready for this? That your spittle contains 99.5% water. Is it 99? The rest of the stuff that nobody wants up in there? I don't care what all that stuff is. All I care about it was the 99. When I heard that, I said, oh my, I got it. It just dawned on me. It just, he was back in front of creation all over again. And he was in front of a man that not one man born in this condition had ever been healed. So he goes back to the original formula by which he created man. Because he's the creator and he is the fountain of living. Do you feel the anointing on that? He is the fountain of living waters. He was that what was flowing in him, that was holy blood and that was holy water. That's why when they shoved the spear in his side, water and blood spilled. Because his living waters had to open again and the blood of Jesus had to flow. The blood had to flow and that wasn't just natural water up in his body. That was holy living water. Those were the Garden of Eden waters. That was they proceeded out of a river of life, purest crystal, flowing out of the throne of God. Get this, flowing out of the Lamb. He was representing the original. He goes, you're standing, O blind man, in front of the original creator. You have nothing to fear. And since a man has not ever been healed since the day of blindness, since the day of creation, I'm going to take it right back to creation. And he had to discharge some way that water out of his body. And he had to put it over dirt the same way that water come out of the fountain. Now he could have done it another way, but I'm glad he did it by spit. Amen. Or he could have just done a few laps around the temple and worked up a sweat. But he took that living water out. And since it was 99.5%, I'm sure the other 5% was quite holy as well. He took the living water out of himself, the creator, and he put it into the clay and he made the original substance by which man was created in the beginning. And he anointed his eyes with it. When he anointed his eyes, man, whew, He recreated something that had never been done. Is that glorious or what? Hallelujah. Wow. Those same living waters are living in us. Then he tells them, that man could have gotten healed right there. But God, what did I say? He was demonstrating. He was demonstrating. So when you go tell your friends tonight, you call them and say, I just heard the most awesome message. What'd your pastor preach on? Spit. Holy spittle. Should we name that? Holy spittle. But then he tells him he anoints him. See, he rubs that original operation of creation. And he anoint. You know what the word anointing means? It means to rub in. He rubbed that in to his eyes. And then he went, because he's demonstrating, he says, now you have to go wash in the pool of Siloam, which by interpretation means sent. Not only am I restoring, it's what he was doing in that miracle. He says, I am restoring the original operation now by way of these living waters. When they touch flesh, there's going to be healing. Miracles, signs, and wonders. But you also have a part too. So he wasn't just leaving him by himself. He goes, not only am I going to do some restoration here, but you're going to have a responsibility too. I'm sending you to the waters. Go to the waters and wash. Go to the waters and get baptized. Go to the waters! If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink, for out of his belly will flow rivers! He said, it is finished. It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. If any man a thirst, let him come unto me and let him partake of the fountain of the water of life freely. Freely. Say freely. If any man a thirst, let him come. Whosoever will, let him come and partake of the fountain of the waters of life freely. Oh, come to the waters. If any man thirst, come to the waters. We have to go to where the waters are. The Holy Spirit is sending us. I want to be sent to the nations. You might want to get sent to the waters first. Come to the water. Isaiah 35, I'm going to quote this to you. Listen to this. The wilderness and the solitary place shall be glad for them. And their desert shall rejoice and blossom as the rose. It shall blossom abundantly, even with joy and singing. For the glory of Lebanon shall be given unto it. And the excellency of Carmel and Sharon. For you shall see, your eyes will see the glory of the Lord, and you will see the excellency of your God. For the eyes of the blind will see, and the ears of the deaf unstop. The lame man will leap about as the hart, and the tongue of the dumb will sing. For in the wilderness the waters shall break out, and rivers in the desert. The parched land shall become a pool. In your dry land, springs of water. Father, let our parched land, let the parched church, let the wilderness church, let waters break out of the wilderness church. Let waters break out. Let our parched land now become a pool of water. Because there's no such thing as a wilderness and a desert when there's water. Father, we have found water. Oh, we have found it in your word. We have found the operations of living water in your word. The tongue of the dumb will sing because of these waters. The ears of the deaf, oh, they will be unstopped because of these waters. The blind will see because of these waters. The original mandate for creation itself will restore because of these waters. You know, those waters that broke out of the tabernacle in Ezekiel 47. You ever notice this in John 7? He said something very interesting. He says, if any man thirst, let him come unto me drink. As the scripture said, out of his belly would flow rivers. There is no scripture that says that. And Jesus himself quoted. So he's going back somewhere in the Old Testament and he is looking at some type of imagery or some type of prophecy or some type of ration. He says, for out of his innermost being would flow rivers of living water. I believe he went back to Ezekiel 47. You are the temple and the waters that broke out of the temple, because he sees you as a temple. He knew you'd be the temple of living waters, and those waters would break out on the right side of the temple. Y'all remember that teaching? You remember the gate faced east and the altar faced east, and the waters broke out underneath the temple, underneath the foundation stone. And it broke out of the right side, out of the right hand of God, and the waters began to flow. And as it began to flow, they broke out of the gate, and Ezekiel went, and he took about 1,000 measures. See, the waters is a journey. He went out to the ankles, and he went out to the knees, and then he went out to the loins. See, there was a baptism taking place. Ezekiel represented the church. The living waters were coming out of the throne. They were flowing out. But it wasn't until the church reached that status where the waters, the swimming, where the waters were overhead. He could not see. He could not stand anymore. The waters owned you at that point. You lost full control in the waters. Full baptism. The church came into baptism. And once the church came into baptism, he turned those waters to the Dead Sea. And as soon as he turned them to the Dead Sea, it said every living thing, everything that was dead would live again. Whithersoever these things go, everything that was dead would live again. Trees would form with the leaves of the trees with the healing of the nations. There was life in these waters that could overcome death. And Jesus showed it in that miracle. Turn that man's eyes. Forged them by the living waters. Isaiah 35 prophesied it. Ezekiel 47 prophesied it. Jesus is demonstrating the waters in every single one of us. Blood bought sons and daughters of God have this fountain on the inside of us. So the Garden of Eden is in us. How excellent is thy loving kindness, O God. Therefore we put our trust under the shadow of your wings. For we are abundantly satisfied with the fatness of thine house. And you maketh us to drink of the river of your pleasures. Today we drink of the waters of Eden, the rivers of your pleasure. For with thee, Lord, is the fountain of life. Spring up, O well, that's within our soul. A wellspring of righteousness, peace, and joy. A wellspring of glory and grace. A wellspring of power and creative miracles. A wellspring of blessing and inheritance. A wellspring of salvation. A wellspring of goodness and mercy. A wellspring of cleansing. Spring up, O well. Spring up, spring up, spring up. Spring up, O well. For with thee is the fountain of life. With you, Lord. With you. Today, you maketh us to drink of the river of your pleasures. When the poor and needy seek water and there is none, and their tongue faileth for thirst, you, our God, will hear us. Even the God of Israel, you will open unto us rivers in high places and fountains in the midst of our valleys. Our wilderness shall become a pool, and our dry land shall become springs of water. You cleaveth the rock in the wilderness, and you give us drink out of the great depths. Out of the great depths, out of the great depths, you give us drink. You give us drink, you bringeth streams out of the rock. You cause your waters to run down like rivers. For the Lord our God, you visited us. This day with the river of God, you greatly enricheth us with your waters. You greatly enricheth us. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. Father, teach us to be all in on these waters. We're all in, Father. We're all in on your word. We're all in on the right hand. And we're all in on these waters. It is the answer for all of creation. It is the answer, Lord. Your waters are the answer. For our soul is as a watered garden. We shall not sorrow anymore at all. We shall not sorrow. We shall not sorrow anymore at all. For a fountain will burst forth from the Lord's temple in this last day. A fountain of the apostolic king priest government. Father, open the fountains in this church. Father, cover us in the waters. Fill us with the waters. Lead us to the waters. Run to the waters. Go and wash. Go and wash, says the Spirit of the Lord. Go and be baptized. Go and enter into the waters. Go and drink. Go. Come unto me, says the Spirit of the Lord, all that labor. Come unto me, all that is athirst, and drink. I give my waters freely, says the Spirit of grace. I give my waters to whomsoever come. I give my waters to the dry, the thirsty, the cracked. I give my waters to whomsoever will, says the Spirit of the Lord. I give my waters freely. Remember that word, freely. To him is a thirst, let him come. Whosoever will, let him take of the fountain of the waters of life freely. For with thee, Lord, is the fountain of life. For with thee is the fountain. With thee is the fountain of life. With thee, cover us in the waters. Take us out like you took Ezekiel. Take us into the waters. Take us into the waters, Lord.